Ryan knows the deal now. He knows he needs to point to me when I can actually talk, because some of those pockets of music are just long enough to make me think that the fancy voice guy is done and I should say something. But here I am. It's Bogish in for DA on this Tuesday. We are here all this week. At least Kevin Wall and myself are. Ryan Botcher on the wheels of steel today. We've got a Peter Schwartz update shift for you all on a trash Tuesday. Schwartz already salty. At Andrew Bogish, at CBS Sports Radio is where you send those trashes. A nice little Easter egg from Schwartz in that last hour, because the last few times that we've all been here together, it has been very clear that Schwartz is not listening to the show. And I assumed he made a choice not to listen, but he thinks he can't listen from the little booth he's in. And he 100% can, because that's where I listen.
With how many places you give out where you can listen to the show, he has to find a way.
So that's a fair point, too. There's 9 different ways. There's multiple apps. We can do that. But is that him? I don't want to let the secret out.
You're
okay,
good.
Somebody just stuck their head in the control room. I want to make sure we weren't letting the secret out. It's just Pat Boyle, who worked like 4 hours ago and is just leaving. He's sitting at a control board that has a machine connected to it that has, I don't know, 70 channels in it. Everything that comes through this building is on this one little switchboard thing, whether it is any of the shows here, live, on delay. I can listen to the connection from Yankee Stadium, from Giant Stadium, from Barclays Center, music. It's all right there. You just got to find it, hit the button that says take, and you can hear it, and he somehow doesn't know how to do that.
And
still,
this is not a new hire. This is the first voice I was on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, exactly. He's been here as long as anyone, and he doesn't know that he
can
listen.
He was the first guy on the air on this network.
But again, no one tell him about this. It's better when he doesn't listen. It's better when he comes in and he gives us a stun to a news that we had done 48 hours before, presents it like new. It's better when he comes in and he's playing sound that we just played, because that drives Bilotti nuts, and Bilotti being angry is good for all of us. So nobody tell him this. Let him live in his quiet closet, not realizing exactly how he could hear us talking about him for 4 hours on this Tuesday morning. It's a trash Tuesday. It's the morning after a surprisingly entertaining preseason game in and of itself, but it also had the caveat of the Ravens' 24-game preseason win streak ending last night, 29-28 to the Commanders. Some extended thoughts throughout the morning on that game. John Angelos had extended thoughts on the future of the Baltimore Orioles, and they suck because he sucks, and at least he's consistent. But this is not anything that you want to read if you're an Orioles fan, the things he said to the New York Times, which was published yesterday. I use this term loosely at the moment. Our friends down the hall in the afternoon in New Blank City on their own sports talk radio show, they apologized for something yesterday. It is not the apology that we demanded on this show yesterday morning, but they did apologize for something else. We will tackle that in our next hour. And again, two sounds of Saturdays here today. Steve Jones, Penn State, Jerry Allen, Oregon, all in our final hour. But first things first, here in hour two, it is Jonathan Taylor, the 24-year-old, banged up, disgruntled Indianapolis Colts running back. We have gone through Saquon Barkley. We still have Josh Jacobs in Raiders purgatory. Maybe he's coming back soon. Maybe he's not. Maybe he'll just sign the franchise tag tender. Maybe he'll sign a reconfigured one-year deal like Saquon Barkley did with the Giants. It's been a bad stretch for running backs. Nobody can win these battles. And here's now Jonathan Taylor trying to get something out of the Colts. He's got an ankle injury. Is his back messed up? He came back for a little bit. He left for a little bit. He came back for a little bit. And now he was away for a personal absence. We were told he was coming back this week and that Chris Ballard, the GM, would smooth out the waters and things would be okay. And then we found out yesterday that Taylor now reportedly has permission to seek a trade. A trade that he requested after Jim Irsay said all those ridiculous things about how unimportant Taylor was and how there's no reason to pay running backs and how if both of them disappeared, the NFL would go on just fine. So how valuable could they actually be? Taylor goes, okay, you can trade me now. And Irsay says, absolutely not. But now we get to yesterday, and now if there's a trade out there that Taylor can find, and I assume he'll want some promise-ish of an extension from that new team, then the Colts will listen, and the Colts will make that deal. I just can't believe that Indy, who reportedly now wants a first-round pick for Jonathan Taylor. Now, I might be the last person on this hill. I was off it for a little bit. I've got back on it now because I feel like this position and these guys are taking too much of a hit, and there's been too much dismissal of their value individually and of the position's value to football success. So I'm back there defending him. I'm back there fighting the good fight. Pay him, keep him, let's go. Jonathan Taylor, in a vacuum, based off what he did 2 years ago, is worth at least a first-round pick in my mind. But in this current situation, there is zero chance that the Colts are going to get that. A year ago, the Panthers got second, third, fourth, fifth-round picks for Christian McCaffrey, who I think is a better player. He was 26 a year ago. Taylor's 24, so that's the difference. McCaffrey already had his contract, his big second contract. So part of the value in trading him for Carolina was getting out of that money, which is why the Niners gave four picks, starting with a second rounder, not multiple ones or whatever. That brings the price tag down because part of the deal is the favor they're doing Carolina by taking that money, future money at that point, off the table for McCaffrey and off the docket for them. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison when it comes to contracts and whatever, but talking about impact players, you know, Taylor's a close second to what McCaffrey does for Carolina and now what he does for San Francisco. He's a player you want on your team. I understand the position he plays, but he is one of the best at that position. He's a game changer. He was remarkable 2 years ago. He was hurt last year. I get that. But one injury doesn't mean you're injury prone. And guys all the time are slow to come back, killing time, being careful in training camp. I'm not concerned with Jonathan Taylor's health to the point where I'm not touching him. Of course, it's a negotiating tool. All those things are in play. Fine. But the bottom line is, oversimplified, I'd want Jonathan Taylor on my team if I was almost anybody in the NFL. Some teams have that position settled. You know, the Jets is an example. They just signed Dalvin Cook. They've got Breece Hall coming back. They're not in on this. The Giants wouldn't be in on this. The Cowboys are done, presumably, at that position. They're not going to be in on this. There are teams that can't be in on it because they don't have any draft picks to deal or they don't have the cap space to fit in Taylor now or long term. So the field gets thinned out that way. But there are plenty of teams that need, should want, should go after Jonathan Taylor. But the nerve of the Colts, the nerve of this owner to say all the dumb things that he said about value and the position. I wasn't talking about Jonathan Taylor, just the position he plays. All of that nonsense. To now turn around and go, you guys got to pay me a lot because this guy's good. Did you see his year 2 years ago? He had 18 touchdowns, flirted with 2,000 yards. Did you see that? First-round pick, right? At least. I think I'm doing you a solid here, a favor. Just a first-round pick? That's a steal. How have you not said yes? I can't. The gall of them, starting from the top, and in particular from the top, completely contaminating the waters because he can't help himself, because Jim Irsay can't not say things, can't not tweet things. This probably could have been figured out to the extent where Jonathan Taylor was at camp right now. Still disappointed, still looking for a payday, but at camp, prepping for next year or for this coming season. And a season, by the way, where they're going to be some shade of crappy in Indianapolis. And when you've got a rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson, who may be good one day, but is certainly not a finished product from day one in the NFL, he's a guy that could use Jonathan Taylor. He's a guy that could use the balance of a dangerous running back to give him time to throw passes to open receivers. Imagine the benefit of Anthony Richardson if defenses had to prep for Jonathan Taylor first and what that would allow Anthony Richardson to do as a passer. The Colts, the second they trade Jonathan Taylor, they become decidedly worse, and they're already not a good team. And I understand part of that is the reason why they hesitate long-term on Taylor. I understand the situation. Will we be good around him soon enough to take the gamble of paying him for multiple years? I understand that part of the argument. But they also just used their number one pick on a franchise quarterback, and they're sabotaging his supporting cast. This didn't have to end now. It definitely didn't need to end now. It might have ended next offseason. It might have ended the year after that if we do double franchise tags, whatever it may be. But it definitely didn't have to end now. So you're making life harder for everybody, but in particular, this guy you spend so much to bring in a quarterback. They are not at 100% conversion rate when it comes to draft picks. So they're going to add a bunch theoretically through a trade like this. But are they going to hit on those picks? And on top of losing Taylor, the guy who was the other running back, Zach Moss, has a broken arm. So now you're down to string, you know, third string, fourth string guys into the regular season, maybe, making it that much worse for Anthony Richardson. All because Jim Irsay just couldn't stop talking. Couldn't let his head coach and his GM calm everybody down, sort things out, maybe find some kind of compromise for at least this year. But he kept talking, he kept tweeting. He almost spent $20 million to help move a whale from Florida to Washington. And if you haven't been paying attention to that, that poor thing passed away the other day before they could move it, before anybody spent millions of dollars to transport it from in a huge fish tank on a tractor trailer, a plane, and another truck to get into a roped-off part of the Puget Sound in Washington. That poor thing, 50 years in captivity, finally had enough. All of this Jim Irsay nonsense because he can't help himself. And now you're going to talk to teams and go, man, can you believe how good Jonathan Taylor is? We don't want him, but you guys should pay us a lot for him? Come on. Now, who's going to be in on this conversation? Because now the door's open. Out he goes, I assume. His days are over in Indianapolis. The Dolphins make sense. We thought they were going to get Dalvin Cook. They didn't get Dalvin Cook. So we know they're in business for a running back. They like making splashy moves, in-season trades, preseason trades like this. They are not immune to these kind of moves. They've got the ability to go get him. They've got the ability to absorb whatever money he's got this year. It's not a lot because it's last year of his rookie deal. The Dolphins are in play here. I've seen people mention teams like the Buccaneers just because they're bad and because they need some help, but that's not a landing spot here. Chicago has been mentioned. That makes a little bit of sense. Depending on how you believe in Justin Fields, what you believe they can do as a team in, you know, a weird NFC North that I think is clearly the Lions division, but you know, the Vikings did win 13 games last year, and maybe the Packers defense and is good enough to let Jordan Love really figure things out here early and then take off. I don't know if the North is wide open, if it is a bunch of mediocre teams. I don't know. But is it winnable if you add Jonathan Taylor to Justin Fields and some other good pieces? I don't know about that. But it certainly makes them better, and it certainly is a price that they can absorb. They've got picks, the Bears do, and they've got money to bring in Jonathan Taylor and to give Justin Fields the help that the Colts don't want to apparently give to Anthony Richardson as he gets his feet wet as an NFL quarterback. It's a remarkable situation. They have talked themselves out of one of the best players in the NFL. And almost happily, from the top. Almost happy to do it. That in a free fall, they had a guy who was unstoppable 2 years ago, got banged up last year, and this year he's two-thirds out of the door. Because, I mean, the Giants, again, the Giants played Saquon Barkley's situation perfectly. I wish it ended differently for Saquon, but what did the Giants do? Ownership, GM, head coach, only nice things. Only nice things. The only time it got a little chippy is when, near the end, when the Giants theoretically assumed, we assume, leaked out what Barkley turned down. Just to kind of muddy the waters a little bit. But anytime you talk to Joe Shane or Amara or Brian Daboll, we love Saquon. We want Saquon to be here a lifetime Giant. And what do? They got Saquon for their price tag this year. And they can do it all again next year as well. They could have been jerks. They could have said dumb things. They could have tried to dismiss the value of the position and whatnot. Instead, they played nice guy. And they got what they wanted. And they stay good. And they keep their best offensive player. They keep the guy that makes Daniel Jones as good as he can possibly be. The Colts, instead, had their owner run his mouth. And the best friend Anthony Richardson could ask for is now basically out the door and gone. That's why the Colts, I said this a couple weeks ago, the Colts should have won more than they did. They made a smart choice in Peyton Manning. They made the easy smart choice in Andrew Luck. And otherwise, they've made more bad decisions than good. And a lot of those bad decisions are why Andrew Luck hasn't played football in forever and why he quit when he was basically a baby in the league. Because they couldn't figure out how to protect him from himself, from opposing defenses, and he couldn't play. He couldn't handle it anymore, and he had to go home. It's not a, and this is multiple GMs, multiple head coaches. But what's the one constant? It's the owner, who can't stay out of the football business. Thinks he knows it, thinks he gets it, thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And this particular instance is about to make his team worse coming off a bad season to begin with. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Phone lines are open. The inbox is open at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish. Your sports takes, but more importantly, it's Trash Tuesday. Our trashes are next on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, here we go. At CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish, send your trashes there. We will read them all morning, but most important are our trashes. Kevin Wall, you lead things off this week.
I'm trashing my sister Kelly because she decided to jump out of a plane yesterday and I had to keep it quiet. And God forbid the worst happened, I would have to live with that guilt forever. So thankfully, she successfully skydived. Everything was good, but she told me the wrong time. What time she was going to jump out of a plane. So I have, I have to play the waiting game just to make sure, like, everything's good. She told me she was jumping out of the plane at 12. She didn't jump out till, like, 2:33. and when we wake up at 3:30 in the morning for this shift, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night now.
That's prime nap time.
That prime nap time. And then finally she says, okay, I'm good. I'm on my way home. I still haven't told mom and dad. I finally pass out. I'm like, okay, good. I'll get a couple hours in. All of a sudden, I hear my mom, you did bleeping what? Of course, that woke me up. I had to stay. I woke up like around 9 o'clock, and I just did not get any sleep last night. So I'm trashing my sister for potentially giving me bad guilt and ruining my sleep schedule. So congrats. I'm glad you're safe, but nah.
Yeah.
Get so out. Frustrating.
Happy Being Alive Day, in particular to your sister. For those of you who are not here, this has been bothering Wall for 24 hours. He was looking for support during the breaks yesterday about how to handle this. I don't like this. Asking me to keep this a secret. What if she doesn't make it? What if she doesn't come home? How much trouble will I be in for that? It was a lot. This has been weighing on Wall for a long time. I'm glad she's okay.
She came up to me Sunday night, like around 8:30, comes to my room. You can't tell anybody, but I'm telling you this. Blah, blah, blah. I thought maybe there was a surprise dinner for my other sister who leaves for college on Thursday. We would surprise her with a night out. We'll pay the bill for my parents.
Right.
Nah, I'm jumping out of a plane. Don't tell anyone. And you're the responsible one.
Mm.
If the worst happens, you have to go identify the body. Imagine that.
I am impressed, though, with her planning skills here, because I would not have thought of all the ways she did to take herself off the grid so your parents couldn't track her to the airfield.
So she gave me her location. So she took the Life 360 off.
Okay.
And so she gave me her location on Snapchat. Like it's 2015 right. All over
again. Is this
again.
Thing on?
And yeah, so I didn't sleep well
now,
because of that.
My follow-up would be this Life 360 thing. Wouldn't your parents get an alert when she turns it off? Because they should if
my
it's
mom
working
is not
correctly
really,
in my mind.
So I took myself off it because my mom was getting very annoying.
You're an adult.
Yeah, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not 18, I'm 27.
Correct.
So I took myself off. And once that happened, you know, I'll text her if I get in early at work, I'm here, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't really check it anymore. But my sister was being very cautious, though,
all right,
about it.
And it worked. She
yep.
jumped, she survived, and she got in trouble afterwards.
And
no
then
big
my
deal.
Mom, my mom came home from lunch yesterday, and she goes, "Where's Kelly?" And thankfully, my sister, Christine, heard it. Oh, she's out with Marie.
Okay,
fair enough.
Moving on. Plan worked. And she's alive. Happy Being Alive Day. Ryan Botcher, what do you got?
I'm trashing the MTA. Not for raising the price of the fares to up where it was. It's like 5%. I'm mad that they made it a non-even number, and it just looks terrible. $2.90 as a price for the ride on the subway compared to $3 to me is terrible. Make it a solid number. $2.75 to $3, that's fine. But you went $2.75 to $2.90, and it's thrown off my entire day. It sucks.
I could not agree with you more that everything should be a whole dollar. We don't need, now I know there are places that have more coins than paper bills, whatever. Making changes for dummies. Everything should be an even number. I give you a $10 bill. It was $8. You give me two, whatever. We're fine. Do give me $2.17 back. Pay $2.90 for this. I don't care. If I'm paying 35 cents extra to get to round up, I'm fine with it. Everything should be a whole number. But in particular, stuff like this, although I guess because nobody pays the actual money anymore, the actual amount doesn't matter. But you're right. Just make it three even dollars and let's move on.
The two people, the two grandmas that get on the bus.
Because there are some people.
They have to use dimes, pennies now. That it's going to throw off their entire week.
Yeah.
And the Metro cards are all messed up now because now, like, if you, like, you get down towards the bottom of your Metro card, you could wind up with, you know, 80 cents.
Right.
Now, what are you going to do with the 80 cents on your Metro card?
It's because, always going to be there.
Like, can you add a funky number to round it up to what you need?
I think you can, actually.
You can't
because
do that
I
with
feel
the parking
like I'm
app.
Never going to get that 80 cents back.
Right. It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
But you probably could do the math to get yourself back to where you need to be. But I hear you. It's just, why are we making math complicated? I'd rather just have nice, big, fat, round numbers, even just in 50 cent increments at least. But if something costs $3.72, we're doing something wrong.
Overflowing landfill.
Schwartz, what's your second trash in the morning?
This is the first official one, though. That one was just happened to be
spur of the moment.
Matter of circumstance. Sure. I took advantage of the opportunity. I am trashing two employees at the deli near my house. went in there on Saturday to get a salad to take to work Saturday night. And they have a large Asian chicken salad, and I wanted the smaller one. And they didn't have any of the smaller ones out. So I asked the first person at the desk, can I please get a smaller Asian? No, you can't do that. And I said, I know I can do it. My wife and I were in here for lunch a few days ago, and she ordered it. That's impossible. It didn't happen. I said, can I get somebody else? Somebody else comes over and says, what can I do for you? And I'm like, I would like the smaller Asian chicken salad. We can't do that. We only make it large. I'm like, it's not true. I was in here for lunch with my wife a few days ago, and she ordered it and got it. You're lying to us. This is impossible. So the manager hears this argument going on and comes out and said, what's the problem? I'm like, I want an Asian chicken salad, but I don't want the big one. I want the smaller one. Just make it for him. But we don't do that. Oh, yeah, we do. Like, so it was not that the two of them couldn't do it. They didn't want to do it. And if this deli wasn't really, really good, like the food is fantastic there,
yeah,
I would never go there again. I'm not going to spite myself and my wife. So we'd still go there. But it's like, how lazy could you be? Like, you didn't want to just, like, go put a salad together for me?
You keep finding these problems.
Got what I needed at the end of the day anyway.
What did you share yesterday about somebody yelling at you on Reddit that you just stumbled upon?
Oh, yeah. That was a long... the whole ranch dressing thing?
Yeah.
You know, Leslie and Fort Lee?
Okay.
Used to call the fan all the time? So... I guess I blocked him on Twitter.
Smart. Okay.
Some time ago because he's barred from certain shows on FAN.
Okay. He is a psychopath.
So I don't remember exactly what happened, but he said something to me on Twitter and I just said, I don't need to deal with this. So I blocked him. So he responded to that whole ranch dressing thing and totally lied about things. He said, my family and I were thrown out of the restaurant. He said that I whined about the ranch dressing getting dumped on me. Are you supposed to get something dumped on you when you go into a restaurant?
Right.
And then he said, you should stop complaining about your son's food coming out cold. I'm like...
You had two different screen grabs of a nine-paragraph Reddit screen.
His blurb that somebody actually, a friend of my son's, pointed out to him, has your father seen this? And like, no, because I was not on Reddit. And then Bradley showed it to me, and I was fuming. Not so much when someone says something about me, but when you include my family in it, that's what like put me over the top. So I completely roasted him. Now, this was a guy that when I worked at the other radio station in town years ago, used to do a hockey show on Wednesday nights at the four-letter word zone restaurant.
Okay.
You know what I'm referring to, right?
Yeah.
So we did this show, and the radio studio there was in like this glass fishbowl.
I remember it,
And this was a guy who would come to the show.
Come into Manhattan,
come to the show, stick his face up against the window, his lips pressed against the window, causing a fog, waving to my co-host and I, and then would follow me into the restaurant, into the restroom during a commercial break to talk sports with me.
Totally gross, dude.
I mean, we love you guys for listening, but some of you are lunatics.
Followed me into the bathroom.
And now he's taking apart your family on social media.
He's taking apart me and my family. That he was being cute about it because he went to a platform he knew I was not on.
Right.
Well, now I am.
Yeah. Although I would argue that you shouldn't be on.
Well, I went on it. Well, I'm going to probably delete the account, but I went on it to respond so that I had... Because he thought he was being cute that I wouldn't see it.
You made an account just to respond to this?
Just to respond to it.
He's hooked for life now. He's not deleting the app.
No,
do you really think Peter Schwartz is a Reddit
guy? I'm giving it a few days to get more comments on it, and then I'll delete it.
But back to my original point, I think I've had like two of these incidents. You've had three this year, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just find trouble.
Not looking for
troublemakers, the Schwartz clan.
Not looking for
walking around Long Island picking fights with poor deli counter workers, asking for different sized salads.
They shouldn't be lazy.
So I have a lot to trash after my family vacation. I'm going to choose to take the high road here and leave some of the more annoying things off the air, because I do love my family and it was a good week, but it's a lot. I mean, any combination of people together in a smallish space is a lot. So I think the safe play here is to tell my mom and dad and my mother-in-law, my wife, my kids that I love them and I can't wait to do this again next year. I'm going to trash, and this feels like a Bilotti trash, coming off a week at the beach. And I know I've done this before, but I got to do it again because it hasn't fixed itself. I got to trash sand. I get the draw. You're soft. We can run through you. Love taking a nap on the beach. It's the second best bed there is after an actual bed. I just can't accept, A, the stickiness. It goes everywhere. It's up. My feet are caked in it, up to my legs, in your bathing suit, in every bag you bring. It's on your seat. It's on your hand. You're trying to eat something. It ends up on the can of soda, can of beer, your water cup, whatever. It just goes everywhere. And God forbid there's any winds. Now it's blowing. You're almost getting like sandblasted. Things are getting the initial layer of them worn off. But on top of that, this week, this beach, southern New Jersey, for some reason, felt like it had absorbed all of the sun and all of the heat. It was like walking on hot coals. To get to put down my crap, to get covered in the sand, it's just not for me. I said this the other day. I need some kind of walkway from the boardwalk, from entry point, wherever it is, over the sand to the water. Find me sand that doesn't stick, that doesn't get hot, doesn't burn my feet. I'm not strong enough, tough enough for this. Everything about the beach is great, minus the sharks, minus the sand. Get the sand out.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
It's just not worth it in the end.
I hate the beach, too.
I love the beach.
No, I hate the beach.
There's just one too many negatives. I'm like scurrying from your seat to the water because my feet are on fire. You get back to the house. You've got to wash everything off. I got sand all over the place. It's all in the house because nobody cleans their feet correctly.
But this is what you sign up for, though, when you go to the beach.
I know. And I've grown to love it. Like, I used to just not go to the beach growing up. Now I'll go. But I notice the things that are not great about the beach. The beach is not perfect. Some people think it's the greatest place on earth and love it, roll around, throw it, whatever. It's got its limitations.
That's why I'm a pool guy. I don't even think I've been to the beach once this summer.
So I've recently added lakes to the mix. And you get the right kind of lake. Now, some lakes are gross and muddy and rocky and mucky on the way in. But you get a nice, clean lake. And you've got a little dock off the back area or whatever. You can dive right in. It's not dirty, whatever. Not swampy. That's not bad. Because now you're taking out the sand. You're taking out the waves that could be too harsh and ruin the day. You're taking out the dangerous wildlife swimming around there waiting to eat you. It's not a bad compromise.
But now you got to deal with all the toxins, you know, in lake water.
Let's be real. Lake is different, I guess, right? Some are cleaner than others. Some are better for swimming than others. There's the danger of dopes going by on jet skis and boats and whatever. But I could be convinced to be a lake guy. Like, you see Jim Rome's pictures?
Oh, the Wisconsin, yeah. It's
that's
beautiful.
A lake. Now, I got a long way to go.
I got a wedding in Lake George next month.
Okay.
It's my first time there, so.
You're going to love it.
Really looking forward to it.
Get back to me on the lake. Lake life's not bad.
I will definitely get back to you on that one.
All right. You keep your trashes coming at Andrew Bogish at CBS Sports Radio. We'll read a couple here in just a second. But first things first, while he's here, let's get some headlines from Schwartz.
Let's start in Arizona, Bogues, where the Rangers scored two runs in the top of the 11th to take a 3-1 lead over the Diamondbacks. In the bottom of the 11th, Arizona cut the lead to one. Then Tommy Pham came to the plate.
And the 2-1 pitch on the way. And a line drive right center. It's going to win it. Tommy Pham, an RBI double, and the Diamondbacks walk off the Rangers. They beat them by a score of 4-3. How about these D-backs?
Greg Schulte on Diamondbacks Radio, and the Diamondbacks over the Rangers 4-3-11, and Arizona's won 8 of their last 10. In Atlanta, Mets beat the Braves 10-4. Francisco Lindor homering as the Mets won for the seventh time in nine games.
I just want to win games, you know. It's fun whenever I contribute to the team, and we ended up winning games. So that's ultimately all that matters at the end of the day. Hard work from the hitting coaches and just watching the guys hit. You know, just if you pay attention, they are going to tell you without even saying a word what to do.
Lindor, courtesy of SNY. Now to Philadelphia, Bryce Harper taking himself back to his Little League days.
1-2. Swinging a fly ball deep center. Going back on it, Meckler. Towards the angled wall. It's over his head. It comes off the wall. It bounds away. Harper's around second. He's heading for third. Meckler bobbles on the track. Harper coming around third. He's coming to the plate. He doesn't need to slide, but he does. He's in safely. And it's 5-2 Phillies.
Inside the park, home run for Bryce Harper. The call on Phillies radio, and the Phillies beat the Giants 10-4. Now, NFL preseason football, and a good night for the Commanders' new starting quarterback.
Third down and 8. Ball is at the 9. Sam Howell looking to throw from the gun. Fires to the 5, complete to the 1. Antonio Gibson trying to force his way in, and he gets across the goal line for a touchdown.
Graham Weinstein on Commanders Radio, and the Commanders beat the Ravens 29-28, ending Baltimore's 24-game preseason winning streak. Sam Howell, 19 of 25, 188 yards and 2 touchdowns as he utilized the talent around him.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many weapons. And, you know, we have, and you said 7 guys, but we have 20 guys. You know, obviously hope we can't, probably can't keep them all. But we have so many guys that can make plays with the ball when they get their chance. All I try to do is just try to get the ball out of my hands as quickly as possible. And give those guys a chance to do what they do best. And I'm just so blessed with the talent I have around me, for sure.
Joey Sly, the game-winning 49-yard field goal with 14 seconds to go. Also from the NFL, the Colts reportedly grant running back Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. The Colts said to be looking for a first-round pick or multiple picks that would equate to a first-rounder. College football, Michigan self-imposes a 3-game suspension for head coach Jim Harbaugh to begin the 2023 season as a result of alleged violations during the COVID-19 dead period. And I'll close with this. From the NBA, the Knicks are suing the Raptors. Members of the Raptors organization and a former Knicks employee that the Knicks say illegally procured and then disclosed proprietary information to the Raptors. And the Raptors say they are doing their own investigation and will fully cooperate, which means the Raptors know something wrong happened.
Yeah.
But now you wonder if this is, again, Knicks owner, you know, Jim Dolan, you know, being a little, I don't know, what do you want to say?
Sleazeball?
Sleazeballish, yeah, about petty. This whole thing.
So I think it even involves the Raptors' new head coach is one of the people involved here. And I guess the story is somebody worked for the Knicks and went to the Raptors and took things with him or her. But I saw a lot of great responses from Knicks fans. Like, what was the game plan? Isolate Julius Randle. That's all they did for, you know, 3 years before this past season. So, but yeah, I mean, the Raptors, like, we should look into this means something happened.
Yeah. So
somebody didn't turn in their playbook on their way out.
another day in Knicks life.
Moist Pork joining us on Trash Tuesday. Good morning. My 9-year-old had a sleepover, and her friend wanted hot cocoa for breakfast. We didn't have any instant, so she tells me a recipe her mother uses. Heating up milk, baking cocoa, confectioner's sugar. I looked at her and said, nope. What cereal do you want? Trash her.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Now, Moist Pork co-signed my sand trash, so I want to be on his side here, but I've got to point out that most responses to this tweet have not been kind to Moise for trashing a 9-year-old for wanting hot cocoa.
He's fine.
He's fine.
You can't go to someone's house expecting them to cook something for you, even though it's not your abode.
But you're 9. I don't know that you know still, what you're asking for.
But to have the whole recipe memorized.
I'm actually impressed by that. My kid would not know what we make him for breakfast if he had to tell somebody else the recipe.
Yeah, it's too much for breakfast. Dinner, then you get a 20% chance it's happened. But this is okay.
Yeah, I think the better play is to just say, oh, I don't have that stuff either. Like, I don't have...
I'm Team Moist Pork. It's Lucky Charms or nothing, sweetie. Well, sorry.
It's the message. It's the way you respond to her. You can just go, oh, I don't have cocoa powder either. Sorry.
Kids got to learn.
Yeah. I think you can let her down gently. Instead
it's
of,
not a diner. You're not when you go to somebody else's house, it's not a diner. We tell our kids that all the time. We get invited over somewhere. You deal with it until we leave. And
all right.
My wife and I will always have the same conversation with the kids. We're going over for dinner at so-and-so's house. If you don't like what they have, just, you know, nibble on it and don't complain about it. And when we leave, if you're still hungry, we will stop somewhere, drive through, and get you something to eat. So stop complaining when somebody is nice enough to invite you over to their house.
All right.
Food is family.
Moist, this room, you've got our support.
I didn't need to hear that.
You've got the support of three of us, the three most important ones in the room right now. More trashes and some thoughts on Ravens Commanders after this on the Duh. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. They're members of the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Last night, the Washington Commanders ended the Baltimore Ravens' 24-game preseason win streak, and safety Kendall Smith had an impact, with the Ravens having one final chance to win the game. The undrafted safety out of Illinois intercepted QB Anthony Brown to kill the NFL's longest preseason win streak ever. So Kendall Smith of your Commanders is the Navy Federal Credit Union Defensive Player of the Week. The first thing I saw this morning when I woke up and opened up my phone was somebody complaining about Kendall Smith and the Commanders D celebrating this pick to end the game by running down the sideline into the end zone, high-fiving, almost jumping into the stands with the fans that were still there. And the tweet was an angry tweet, like basically act like you've been there before. This is not that big of a deal. And I guess this connects to John Harbaugh's point that Schwartz played in his first update this morning. It is a big deal. That dude, as you just heard, undrafted out of Illinois, fighting for his life, don't know he's going to make the team, don't know if he'll have an NFL career. But he has that moment last night on ESPN, pseudo Monday Night Football. He makes an interception that ends the game, and celebrate all you want. Why not? There are times going up to the game where the Commanders seemed a little too preoccupied with this Ravens streak, and the streak doesn't mean anything. The Ravens better not gloat about ending it, because if it doesn't mean anything, then ending it doesn't mean anything either. But in the moment, game-sealing interception in a dramatic game for whatever drama you can have in August in week two of the preseason, an oddly entertaining, dramatic fourth quarter to get that win, go celebrate. Go have fun. You may never get that chance again in an NFL uniform. Have fun, Kendall Smith, and the rest of the Commanders' defenders. As for the rest of that team on offense, you can't have an opinion on Sam Howell. He played one actual NFL game after being a fifth-round pick out of North Carolina. I get why people like him, but we just don't know what he is. He played fine last night, officially the number one guy. The Commanders are a good team. They're nowhere near great. They might be the fourth best team in that division, and we'll see what Howell can be. I'd love to have an opinion on him, but how can you? We've barely seen him, but what we saw last night, what we saw at the end of last season, looks promising. We're back to baseball and the dumb Orioles next.